Deutsche Welle Africa Link.
Let's get straight into the stories we've lined up for you in this edition of Africa Link. Ghanaians react to plans by the government to send troops to help stabilize South Sudan.
Are they going to pay Ghana for the deployment? I don't think so. We have a lot of problems here. We can't even pick up our garbage.
We have to help them to stabilize the situation in the country. I don't think it's bad.
Who will help replace Michel Djotodia to lead Central African Republic? Could it be Alexandra Ferdinand Ngende, the newly appointed transitional president?
Ngende himself, on a rival international radio station, was asked that very question. He did not say yes or no.
Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we bring you all the news and the drama right here on Africa Link. Hello and welcome to the program with me, Crispin Mwakideo, in Bonn, Germany.
Top story.
More boots in South Sudan. Ghana is preparing to deploy around 350 soldiers this week to South Sudan. The troops will join others under the UN peacekeeping mission. They are meant to help with efforts to stabilize the world's youngest nation. Ghana says its troops will increase to 850 within the next 3 months. But the announcement has received strong criticism among some Ghanaians who fear for the safety of their fellow citizens. Isaac Kalezi with more on the story.
The Director of Public Affairs at the Ghana Armed Forces, Colonel Imbawini Atintandi, on Monday confirmed to DW that 350 soldiers who are currently on a peacekeeping mission in Ivory Coast will be redeployed to South Sudan this week. Another 500 will also join their colleagues in the coming weeks. Colonel Atintandi says this is the best contribution Ghana can give to South Sudan at the moment to deal with the current situation.
We have accepted, acceded to the UN's request to provide troops, and we have agreed that our own contingent in Cote d'Ivoire, you know, which was expected to rotate next month, you know, to move from Cote d'Ivoire to South Sudan, to stay there for 3 months. After the 3 months, then they'll be replaced by fresh troops direct from Ghana. And those troops will now be increased in strength from the 350 to 850, a complete battalion.
Details of the soldiers to be deployed to South Sudan have not been made public. When I ask him how families of these soldiers feel about their next mission, this is what Colonel Atintandi had to say.
When we deploy, we don't factor our families into this. Not that they don't mean anything, but generally our families are well aware of our own demeanor, our own responsibility, and then the jobs that we have to do. The peacekeeping role that we have played has been able to raise the profile of Ghana very high. And so I think that our families are happy that we are going through this, except that we always expect that they will pray for us that we go and come back alive to enjoy with them.
But at the Bema camp in Ghana, where the military officers reside, some family members are not happy about the decision to send troops to another peacekeeping mission.
As of now, we are in a crucial condition where we have a lot that we are doing here, and we need our security to be around us. So for this moment, I don't think it's necessary that we should send our military men there.
Are they going to pay Ghana for the deployment? I don't think so. We have a lot of problems here. We can't even pick up our garbage.
We have to help them to stabilize the situation in the country. I don't think it's bad.
Ghana is this month commemorating 40 years since it began supporting peacekeeping missions across the world. The Ghana Armed Forces is hopeful these soldiers will serve well in South Sudan and return safe. This is the hope as well of many of the families of these soldiers.
Isaac Kalezi in Accra. The UN Wild Food Programme WFP on Monday pledged almost $58 million to find a food aid programme in strife-torn South Sudan. Fighting between government troops and rebels loyal to former Vice President Riek Machar has now turned to Bor, capital of Jonglei State, after the army recaptured oil-rich Unity State from the rebels. The fighting left a trail of death and destruction, as Adrian Krish and Jan-Philip Scholz found out in this report presented by Daniel Pels.
Louis Kuong is shocked. He stands in front of his house in Bentiu, which is now only a big piece of rubble. Three walls are still standing, the rest has been burned down. Ashes and dust fill the air, almost every house in this area has been destroyed. The 18-year-old does not know where the rest of his family is, and he does not know how to carry on.
The place is already bad.
The place is bad. I can't say anything. Everything is burnt.
My place is already dirty.
Bentiu, the capital of the oil-rich Unity State, is little more than a ghost town. bodies of soldiers and civilians are lining up by the roadsides. After lengthy fighting, government troops managed to recapture the town last Friday from the rebel militia of former Vice President Riek Machar. Soldiers of South Sudan's army SPLA celebrate their victory. Like this soldier, they are full of confidence.
Situation is okay. There's nothing again will be happens. Now we are waiting for the civilian to come inside. All we are waiting for civilians to enter.
Bentiu's residents do not trust such statements. Most of them have fled into a camp run by the United Nations. The UN estimates that more than 200,000 people have been displaced in the fighting. But even South Sudan's army chiefs seem to believe that the conflict cannot be solved by fighting. Philip Agwe is the spokesman of the South Sudanese army.
It is a political crisis that unfortunately some of the politicians decided to recruit some of the members of the army so that they can take over power by force. That is unfortunate. Now, its solution is not in the military. Now, if they decided to resolve it politically, this is where they should begin, not to involve the army. So we hope the settlement of the crisis will be by political means, not by military means.
Peter Atwok Nyaba is a former government minister. He lost his job 5 months ago after President Salva Kiir sacked his entire cabinet. He fought in the country's civil war for decades, even losing his leg on the battlefield. Nyaba is sympathizing with the rebels. He believes that the crisis has its roots in South Sudan's violent history. South Sudan had been at war with the North for decades, and during that time, Nyaba thinks, the leaders failed to learn any other way than solving conflicts by force.
This failure is what has come as a result of relying on the military as the only means of struggle. The president could only think of resolving the conflict, the political conflict between him and his other colleagues in terms of military means, you know, in terms of organizing a militia, and this militia is what really did the killings on the 16th, 17th, 18th and 19th of December.
But so far, no side has shown willingness to solve the conflict by political means. Peace talks are taking place in Addis Ababa since December, with no agreement in sight. And while politicians are bickering, civilians suffer.
That report was compiled by Adrian Krish and Jan-Philip Scholz in Juba.
Africa Link. Because Africa is more than just a headline.
Out with Jotodia, who's next? The interim president of the violence-wracked Central African Republic, Alexandra Ferdinand Nguende, has been charged with finding a new transitional president within 2 weeks. Nguende vowed on Monday that the anarchy that had gripped the country would be swiftly brought to an end. He made the remarks as deserting troops and police returned to duty following last week's resignation of former interim leader Michel Jotodia. So is the insecurity nightmare of the Central African Republic finally over? Via Skype, I posed that question to David Smith, an expert on Central African Republic based in Johannesburg.
Still have in place a group of people in power, at least, that are generally not accepted by the majority of people in the Central African Republic. The person you've just referred to, Alexandre Ferdinand Nguende, is a member of the transitional council that was put in place by the now retired Jotodia and his Seleka members. So I think it's safe to say that most people in the country do not want him to be in power either. Now, it is a little bit calmer in Bangui, the capital, than it was before Jotodia was removed from power, but it's not without violence. I think there's a long way to go before stability comes to the CAR. And I say comes because it's a country that has not really seen much stability of any kind since independence 53 years ago.
And what are the chances of the provisional parliament coming up with an interim leader in 2 weeks?
Well, they have to, so they will. The question is, who will they pick? And will that person be accepted by the people of the Central African Republic? So whoever is put in power in the next 2 weeks is still only going to be there temporarily, because the terms of the agreement say anybody serving in the transitional council may not stand for election in the elections that will be held February 2015.
And who are the likely candidates? I mean, probably Guedet will be amongst them. Are there any other candidates?
Ngenda himself, on a rival international radio station, was asked that very question. He basically hemmed and hawed and refused to answer the question. He was asked twice if he would be running, and he did not say yes or no. The general feeling in the Central African Republic is that he will put his name forward.
Now, let's talk about this interim president or whoever will come in this 2 weeks' time. What should be their main priority for the Central Africans?
Oh, first thing is security, peace, security, stability, because that's what's missing. People are afraid to go to work. The very few people in the Central African Republic who do have jobs, children are not going to school because in many cases the schools have been turned into centers for internally displaced persons. So we need some kind of stability in the country so that basic services, of which there were few to begin with, can start operating again.
All right. And we've talked about bringing security, but what about reconciliation? How difficult will that be to reconcile the warring different factions in Central Africa?
Not an easy task, but probably one of the tasks that's likely to be to end on a more successful note than putting the security forces together.
Central African Republic analyst David Smith in Johannesburg. Bad news for good luck. Former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo has said he will consider withdrawing from the country's governing People's Democratic Party. Obasanjo's threat is because he wants the party to expel a top PDP financier wanted in the US for alleged drug trafficking. President Goodluck Jonathan and Obasanjo have in recent times differed politically as the country gears up for the 2015 elections. I've been talking to Ben Adam Shamang, our correspondent in Abuja, to find out more about the political saga.
The president and the ruling People's Democratic Party should be worried. They are already sending some words to the president, explaining to him why he has to remain in PDP. He is a factor. He has been able to mobilize quite a lot of people in the southwest, particularly where he comes from, talking of the Yoruba states in southwestern part of Nigeria. So he is a factor, and of course they see him as a very big unifying leader in Nigeria.
And is Obasanjo's move, or his threat rather, is it out of genuine concern for the PDP, or is he simply throwing more punches at Jonathan's re-election bid?
Well, you see, Obasanjo has been having some issues with the government of President Goodluck Jonathan. He has written some letters and quite a lot of things he complained about: misgovernance, insecurity, that tribalism has been been practiced in the country, and a whole lot of issues like that. So he has quite a lot of issues to pick with President Goodluck Jonathan's government. But again, the government too is also quick at hitting back.
Now, President Goodluck Jonathan's PDP was recently left without a majority in parliament. But what about the Nigerians? Do they still support the party, or are they leaning more towards the opposition APC now?
Well, many Nigerians just feel this is politics. Politicians are always never trusted, so to speak. In Nigeria, like one Bishop Kuka once said, that when they want to say someone is a liar, they will say, no, he's a politician, putting it mildly. That tells you the kind of rating many people have of politicians. Crispin, just listen to what these Nigerians are saying.
It is good news and it's bad news. Something big, something great. There's going to be a seismic shift in the Nigerian political terrain.
It's a free world, and the beauty of democracy is that you have the free will to choose which party to belong to in this country. So whether he stays or not, it does not matter to me.
It sounds meaningless, because as an elder statesman, what does he mean by suspending himself? If he wants to quit, let him quit. But suspending himself, to me, it sounds somehow.
Ben Adam Shamang in Abuja. And we've just heard that President Jonathan has signed a law banning gay marriages. Offenders face up to 14 years in jail. We shall keep a close ear on that story.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome to Learning by Ear. This is the 18th episode of Crossroads Generation, a radio drama all about the kind of choices young people in Africa are facing.
We're standing at the crossroads, we're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future stands today.
We are portraying Nikki, Dan and Marcy, who've all had to make some tough decisions lately. Let's have a recap. Marcy accepted Dan's invitation and sneaked in the boys' dormitory to visit her new crush. But just as the two teenagers were about to get closer, Dan's friend Biko alerted them to the fact that the principal was on her way to do one of her random room inspections. Dan was able to smuggle Marcy out of the building. But as they waited, hidden in a bush, to sneak out of the compound, the romance between them started to turn sour.
You know what? Nobody can see us here. We are well hidden in this bush. So?
I'm sorry, but I can't do that. I'm not ready yet.
So you don't really feel anything for me at all? If you did, you wouldn't mind showing me some affection.
Dan's putting Marcy under a lot of pressure. Will she stick to her principles or will she give in? Meanwhile, Nikki can't accept that Marcy chose Dan over him. He's come up with a plan to try and win her heart.
I have to show Marcy that I'm better than Dan. Once I've taken her for a ride in this, she'll forget all about that idiot. Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
Nikki has secretly stolen his parents' car to try and impress Marcy. Will it work? The stage is set. Now sit back and enjoy this 18th episode, Under Pressure. Nikki's parents are just coming home from a walk through the neighborhood.
That was a wonderful walk. It was good that we visited Mama Nadina. I think she'll recover soon.
Yes, I think so too. Jumbe, do you notice anything different?
My car's gone.
Jumbe, it's the robbers. They struck again. Oh no, where is Nikki? I hope they haven't done anything to our son.
Take it easy, Mama Nikki. Let's just go in slowly and see.
Go in. No way. I'm not coming face to face with those thugs again. Once is enough.
All right. You stay here. But if you hear me scream, run straight away and call for help.
Okay, please be careful. Please.
Nikki? Son? Are you still in your room? Hello? Nikki, we are home. He's not here. Mama Nikki?
Yes?
Come in. Nobody's here.
Where is Nikki?
I don't know, but can it really be that the robbers came back? But everything else looks just as it was when he left.
Wait. Jumbe, do you think Nikki might have taken the car?
But he doesn't have a license.
I think we should call him. Something is wrong. I can feel it.
Marcy won't be able to resist me when she sees me in this car. If Trudy's right, and Marcy just picked Dan because of his money, wait till I give her a ride in this. Now who can that be? Oh my goodness. It's Mom's number. Oh, they must be home already. Damn! What have I done? How am I going to explain? Oh no, I have to go back. Okay. Hi, Mom. I'm sorry. Tell Dad. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm already on my way back with the car. It was just... Mom, it was just a test. I know. Yeah, okay. See you in a minute. Oh my God. Oh no, I've hit someone. Oh no, but I didn't see anyone there.
Someone call an ambulance and the police. Quick, and don't let the driver get away.
What have I done? Oh, it wasn't my fault.
Boy, are you the one who was driving?
Yes, but I didn't.
You're in serious trouble. Do you know what you have done? Wait until the police arrive here. Give me the car keys.
Please don't beat me up. I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry.
Waiter!
Yes, please.
I'll have a bitter lemon, please.
One bitter lemon, and how about you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay.
Now tell me about your date with Dan. How did it go? It wasn't a date. We
We just met. I see. So, how was the meeting between you and Dan? Tell me, did you two... you know?
No, we didn't. Oh, Trudy, it was a total nightmare.
Nightmare? What happened?
Well, we were almost caught by the principal.
You what? No way. How come?
I was in Dan's room, and he'd taken my hand and wanted me to sit next to him.
Ay, 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 ay. Naughty boy, naughty girl.
My heart was beating like... I wasn't sure what to do.
Here is your bitter lemon.
Thanks, sir. Don't stop, Mercy. It's so exciting. So afterwards, the principal burst in on you and...
You have wild imagination, Trudy. No. Then Biko knocked on the door to warn us she was coming. She was carrying out one of her random inspections. Biko and Dan call it a red alert. So then Dan sneaked me out and I managed to get away. That's it.
That's it? Nothing more?
Nothing more. I was lucky, right?
Come on, you're lying. You two didn't even smooch or kiss, you know.
No! Dan, well, he wanted me to... How can I say this? To give myself to him, but I said no.
You said no? Like you rejected him?
Well, yes. And now he's mad at me, just because I told him we should wait.
Wait? Oh, Mercy, let me tell you something. You are now a grown woman. You've already started your periods. The next step you make to become a real woman is losing your virginity. If you wait, you just stop yourself from growing up. You know that, don't you?
Trudy, are you sure? Where did you learn all this? Because what I know is that I'm supposed to wait until I get married.
Mercy.
What?
You sound as if you've walked straight out of the Ice Age. What do you think your stupid virginity will get you in the end? Huh? A crown? Well, it's up to you. I'm just trying to warn you as a friend, you know?
Trudy.
Waiter!
Yes, please.
I would like to pay.
Okay, coming up.
Dan, come on. What happened the other day with Mercy? You haven't been yourself since then.
I'd rather not talk about it, Biko, if you don't mind.
But did you, did you get to taste the honey, like you said?
Biko, we are in the library. Would you stop bothering me? I am trying to concentrate here.
Huh. That doesn't sound good. I guess maybe I was wrong then. You didn't score a goal with Mercy after all. Ay, 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 ay. But you must at least have got a kiss or something.
I didn't, okay? I didn't get a kiss, a peck, a smooch, or anything at all.
Too bad.
As a matter of fact, I am done with Mercy. Happy now? Can we please focus on why we came here? Thank you.
Whoa. Sorry, man.
Dan doesn't want to talk about his lack of success with Mercy. So how will the story continue? And what's going to happen to Nikki now he's hit a pedestrian? We'll soon find out. If you'd like to listen to this 18th episode again, just visit our website at dw.de/LBE. Until we meet again, it's goodbye from us.
As always, before we go, here's a summary of our main stories. Ghana is preparing to send its troops to help stabilize South Sudan. And the Provisional Parliament in Central African Republic has been given 2 weeks to come up with an interim leader. And there we come to the end of this edition of Africa Link. You can send in your comments and suggestions by texting us on +491609575910 or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. I'm Crispin Wakireo. Bye for now.